Don't the poinsettias look beautiful this year? Thank all of you who helped to supply those. A poinsettia is a miracle in progress. It takes a certain number of hours of darkness, a certain number of hours of daylight, a certain number of days for the seed to lay dormant in the earth, the perfectly right chemical combination and combination of nutrients and vitamins in the soil for that seed to germinate. It takes a genetic miracle for each poinsettia to have its own unique color. It takes a miracle for them to stay alive after they bloom, because again, it takes a certain number of hours of darkness, a certain number of hours of daylight, and just the right amount of water. One year, I remember shortly after I came here, I pretty much destroyed the poinsettias in our church, because I was certain that they had to have tons of water, and so I was watering them every day, and I walked in one day, and they all looked dead. And I thought, oh my goodness, what have I done? So I called the florist, and they said, what did you do? I said, I don't know. I watered them every day. First mistake. And they said, do they have enough direct sunlight? Probably not. And so we needed to get some special lights to put over them and withhold water for several days. And by God's grace, by Sunday, they looked half decent again. But a poinsettia is a miracle in progress. And it's just something that God has done so that we can enjoy His handiwork. Amen. Christmas is a time for miracles. We read about some miracles here in Luke chapter 1 this morning. And by the way, just a side note, you know me. It's kind of come out in the last recent months that I'm a Jeopardy fan. I'll bet there's a lot of you here who are smarter than a Jeopardy contestant. What chapter in the Bible gives the greatest detail of the Christmas story? Luke chapter 2. Three brilliant Jeopardy contestants this week did not know that. Yeah, wow. That's sad. Anyway, Christmas is a time for miracles. Let's think about that for a moment this morning. The Christmas story is a story of miracles. And just what is a miracle? We're going to define that in just a moment. But you've been watching those Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel. In our house, there is no other channel. Since about July, it's been Hallmark Christmas music, Hallmark Christmas movies. And just about every one of those movies features someone who needs a miracle. It could be a young widow or a widower who needs to meet someone because their life is just so lonely. And so they fall in love and they get married at Christmas time. It could be a person who has a very serious health problem. And they experience a miraculous healing right at Christmas time. Other times it's a person with a financial problem. They're going to lose the ranch, or they're going to lose their business, or they're going to lose the home. I tell people, you see one Hallmark movie, you've seen them all. It's the same plot over and over again. But somebody needs a miracle, right? And the miracle comes right at the end of the movie. And each featured person experiences a miracle. The Christmas story is a story of miracles. The title of the message today is The Miracles of Christmas. And I don't have time to talk about all the miracles of Christmas, so I'm going to pick just three. Three of the major miracles of Christmas. But again, what is a miracle? What is a miracle? A miracle is an event not explainable by natural or scientific laws. You can't explain. How did it happen? It just happened. It was a God thing. As I have a friend in Biglerville who all has that. That's one of his favorite expressions. He talks about things that God did, and he says it was a God thing. There's no explanation for it. Webster's dictionary defines a miracle as an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. God did it. This is a God thing. The Christmas story, again, it's loaded with miracles. Today, I want to review just three of those miracles. And I say review because when it comes to Christmas time, what do you use to preach about? I mean, we've heard the Christmas story thousands of times. It's the same story. It doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. Every time we hear it, it's exciting. It's wonderful. We appreciate what God has done. But when it comes to sharing something new, something you've never heard, I can't do that. I don't have anything to share with you that you haven't already heard. But every time we review the Christmas story, we're celebrating. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about. Our appreciation to God for His divine intervention in the mankind, the world, the mankind, the humans of the world, by graciously sending a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first miracle, of course, is the virgin birth. And last year, I spent a whole sermon going into great detail on the virgin birth. I'm not going to do that this morning, but review just a few remarks, just a few things about the virgin birth to help us appreciate that God is a God of miracles. And by the way, the purpose and reason of the message today that the Lord laid upon my heart is that I have a feeling there are folks here this morning that need a miracle. We need a lot of miracles. The condition our world is in today, the COVID-19, the political chaos that's going on, the social breakdown of our society, the economic teeter-tottering of our, we're on the brink of collapse economically. There's so many things. We need some miracles. We need some miracles. Maybe you need a miracle in your life. Maybe you're facing something physical. Many of us are at that age where, like I said, getting out of bed this morning, I wasn't kidding. It took a miracle. And many of us are to that point. And so maybe you need a miracle today. Maybe you need a miracle in your spiritual life. Maybe you just feel like you're all dried up and just nothing fresh, nothing is going on there. You haven't really sensed the presence of God, and you're a little discouraged. Maybe you're a little disheartened. Maybe Christmas is a time where we were really looking forward to being with family again. We were looking forward to a great celebration, filling the house with kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and just having a wonderful time. And here we are, we can't do that. And we're all a little sad. And so we just need a miracle. God is a God of miracles, and Christmas is a time of miracles. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the song say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We need a miracle. So the miracle of the virgin birth, Luke chapter 1, let me read again verses 26 and 27. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Two times in that verse, the word virgin is used. Critics of the Bible will say the word virgin in the Greek simply means a young woman. Look at the context. Look at the true meaning of the Christmas story. Look at what God did for us in redemption through Mary's son, Jesus Christ. This virgin is, according to today's definition of a virgin, 100% a virgin. And this birth of the Lord God becoming man and dwelling among us is nothing less than a miracle of God. And we must never lose sight of that. We must never be convinced otherwise. God gave us a miracle. And so the first miracle is the virgin birth. It fulfilled prophecy. Another reason we know that this is such a unique birth, and it could only mean truly a virgin conceived a child, because 400 years before Mary ever heard a word from Gabriel, ever had an angel appear to her and tell her that she was going to be with child and it was going to be a man child, and even gave her the name that was to be given to this child, meaning Savior, the one who came to save his people from their sins, Jesus. The virgin birth was fulfilled. It fulfilled prophecy. Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And by the way, I'm told the Hebrew in the Old Testament does not give you the liberty of saying that the word virgin is anything less than a virgin. It's not just a young woman. It is a virgin, young woman. Scripture confirms that it was a virgin birth in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, where the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, we all know what that means, it doesn't need explanation, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. How can you make Scripture say anything other than what it says in plain, simple English? Amen? This young woman who had never been with a man was with child, and that action was an act of the Holy Ghost, God, the third person of the Trinity. The Scriptures are, and I don't need to remind you of this, you know this truth, the Scriptures are inspired of God, God breathed. They are given by the Holy Spirit, the holy men of God who wrote them down. The Holy Spirit gave the Scriptures to holy men of God. Who is the Holy Spirit? As I just said, He is God. Can God lie? No. God cannot lie. It says that in plain, simple English three times in the Bible. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. Three times, God cannot lie. And when the Bible says that this young woman, before she had ever been with a man, is with child of the Holy Ghost, it means just that. God used Matthew, the writer of the first book of the New Testament, to confirm that Isaiah's prophecy was being fulfilled through the birth of Jesus. In Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. We know that Jesus has many names. All of them are important. All of them are significant. Emmanuel, a Christmas name specifically, because it talks of the incarnation. It talks about Jesus coming to the earth and becoming flesh and dwelling among us. The incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. God in our presence. Mary was chosen by God to fulfill the prophecy. In Luke chapter 1, verse 27, the angel Gabriel appeared to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. She was engaged to marry a man named Joseph. This message, I wish we had a church full of young people. Because if you look at the Christmas story and you look at history and you look at the Jewish culture of the first century, Jewish girls were expected to be virgins before marriage. If they got pregnant before marriage, it was a disgrace to the entire family, to the entire community in which she lived. If a Jewish man married a girl and discovered on their wedding night that she wasn't a virgin, he had the right by law to divorce her. That's how important it was. Mary was definitely a virgin. Verses 28 through verse 31, it says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." This is not language that would be used toward a young girl, Jewish girl, who had disgraced her family or who had disobeyed the law of God. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Mary experienced a miracle. When the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, she conceived a baby through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That had never happened to anyone before, and it has never happened to anyone since. It was a miracle made for Mary. Mary's miracles remind us that, according to verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. You need a miracle today? You need a miracle? You need some encouragement? You need something to take place that only God can do? Nothing, say it together with me, nothing is impossible with God. Keep that in mind. Don't forget that. Satan would love us to believe otherwise. Don't let him deceive you. Nothing is impossible with God. And when it comes to Christianity, the virgin birth is an essential aspect to our beliefs. If we don't believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, we're all in trouble. Because if he had not been born of a virgin, we would not be able to be saved. I'll explain. If Jesus came into this world the same way that you and I did, and he was born with a sin nature like you and I are, if he was born a sinner as we are, then he would not have been qualified to be a sinless sacrifice for our sins. You know that big word in 1 John, propitiation? It's hard to pronounce, and most of us wonder, what in the world does that mean? It means that the sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary was acceptable to God. It was acceptable to God. If Jesus Christ had been a sinner, it would not have been acceptable. He had to be the Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ was virgin born. The miracle of the virgin birth has made our salvation possible. And not only was it a miracle to Mary, and not only was it a miracle revealed by angels, and not only was it a miracle that fulfilled prophecy, Joseph knew that it was a miracle. Joseph knew it was a miracle. He knew it was a virgin birth. Joseph knew It was an immaculate conception. According to Jewish law, if Mary had been unfaithful during the engagement contract, he could have had her stoned to death. And he would have been legitimately legal in what he was doing. But he didn't do that. He could have just called off the marriage and had her go back to her family and spend the rest of her life as an unmarried woman. He didn't do that. He didn't choose those options because he was convinced of what Mary told him and an angel told him were the truth. The Holy Spirit had implanted baby Jesus inside Mary's womb. Jesus' virgin birth was a Christmas miracle. Another Christmas miracle was the Christmas star. The Christmas star that led the wise men to Bethlehem to see Jesus. Go back to Matthew chapter 2. Last year I said I talked about the virgin birth in detail in a message. 3 years ago we talked about the miracle of the Christmas star. And so I just want to touch on it a little bit again today. Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. This was a miracle of God. This is something that only God can do. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east," his star, "and are come to worship him." And they didn't come from Lebanon or Syria. They came on a journey that historians say probably took them at least 4 to 6 months to get there. They followed his star for several months. And it came and it stopped and stood over the house where Jesus was. And so it was a miracle. It led the wise men to Jesus. It was truly the Christmas star. Now, if you've been listening to the news, they've been talking about a Christmas star that's going to appear this year during the winter solstice, December the 20th and 21st, in the southwestern sky. You normally see two, we call them stars, but they're actually planets, Saturn and Jupiter, two of the brightest objects in the winter sky. Their orbits are arranged in such a pattern that every so many years they come together and cross. And even though from Earth it looks like they're really close, it's going to look like they're really close to the Earth, and they're going to be really, really bright. It'll get your attention if you're looking. Okay, you'll see it, and it's called a conjunction when two stars orbits cross and they line up, and so it produces a brilliantly bright light. This year, don't miss it, because the last one was 800 years ago, okay? 1226 AD. Now, I don't understand orbits, and I don't understand how God's set all this up, but if you live another 80 years, you'll see it again, okay? Because in the year 20, no, not 80 years, 60 years, in the year 2080, it's supposed to happen again. But a Christmas star where Jupiter and Saturn align, and that's called a conjunction. The conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter was not the Christmas star. It was not the Christmas star. It was an unusual star. It was a God thing. It was a special star. By the way, the word star in the Greek, Jupiter and Saturn, as I said before, they're planets that are just reflecting the light of the sun. They don't have their own source of light. I'm going to talk about this a little bit in just a few minutes. But they were not stars. They are not stars. They are planets. This Christmas star that led the wise men to Bethlehem, and they followed it for several months. There are many theories about that star. Some speculate that it was a supernova, which is an exploding star that lasts for several months is very bright and it's distinct from all the other stars of the sky. But if it had been a supernova, everyone would have noticed it. Obviously, everyone didn't notice this star because Herod didn't know anything about it until the wise men showed up and said, "We have been following his star from the east and wanted to know where this baby was born that is king of the Jews." Herod didn't see it. He asked the Magi in Matthew 2:7, "When did this star appear? What are they talking about?" The star wasn't a comet. Some people have said, "Oh, it was just a comet that was passing by the earth." Comets are very bright and you know, they're very visible from the earth on a clear night, and you can see them for several weeks or even a couple of months at a time before they vanish away. But they just keep on traveling in the same direction and keep on moving. They don't stand still. Matthew 2:9 tells us that the star was stationary over the house where Jesus could be found. Some astronomers believe the star was actually just a conjunction like Jupiter and Saturn when planets come together to create an amazing light in the sky. But again, if the plain sense of Scripture makes sense, don't look for any other sense. The Bible says it was a star, not two planets. Okay? And however, a conjunction of planets couldn't go ahead of the wise men leading them from Persia to Jerusalem. It would have only appeared for a few days and then it would not have been visible any longer than that and so forth. A careful reading of the text, Matthew chapter 2 verse 9 says, "The star went ahead of the wise men and it suddenly stopped over the place where Jesus was. It hovered over the earth's surface to distinctly mark the whereabouts of Jesus." God used the miracle of a star, the miracle of a star, to lead the wise men to Jesus. As I was saying before and stumbling around, I'll try to clarify now that a star has its own source of light. It's not like a planet. The earth does not have its own source of light. You can see it from outer space because the sun shines on it and reflects off of it. And so a star has its own source of light, like our sun. It has its own source of light. The sun is the closest star to us, believe it or not. God, a planet like Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, they just reflect light. But God sent Jesus Christ to be our star. That's my whole point here. He is our star. He is the star for your life and for my life. He has his own source of light. He is the light of the world. John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." God said through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That, my dear friends, is a miracle. That God, in his grace and love, has shined spiritual light into our hearts. Spiritual light. If we are saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus is your Christmas miracle. Another Christmas miracle that I'd like to mention this morning is the appearance of angels. Do you believe in the presence of angels? Do you believe that we are in the presence of angels today? Do you believe the Bible is God's word? God's word says angels have miraculously appeared unto particular people at special times for specific reasons which were worthy of biblical notation. Reference to angels occurs 116 times in the Old Testament and 175 times in the New Testament, And the most talked about references to angels are in the Christmas story. Angels appeared to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who appeared in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, telling Zechariah that his aged wife, who had been barren all of her life, they had never had any children, she was going to have a child in her old age, John the Baptist. He was going to be the forerunner. He was going to prepare the way of Jesus, even though they had been unable to conceive a baby. Then the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Mary that we read about in Luke 1, 26 through 32, telling her that she would play a unique role in bringing the Messiah into the world. And then the appearance of the angel of the Lord to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But while he thought on these things, Mary telling him that she would be with child and that she would have the Son of God, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The appearance of the angels to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very sore afraid. They were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In all four of those cases, the angels provided direction and comfort so that those hearing what they needed to do would not be afraid. They would trust God and they would believe in the miracle that God was performing. And there are many more miracles of the Christmas story that we don't have time to talk about today. Christmas is a message of miracles. And I believe any miracle you need, God can supply. So it's never too late. Never too late for a miracle. Don't give up praying for that loved one who's gone astray. Don't give up praying for that one who is desperately ill. Don't give up praying for that great need in your life. Don't give up praying for that child who is prodigal. God can give a miracle in due season. Trust Him. Trust His plan. Trust His timing. God can reassure you of His working in your life. The shepherds needed some good news. They were in the darkest day of Israel's history. They needed some good news. God sent an angel. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. The Christmas story was impossible for you and me to accomplish on our own. The salvation of our souls, God has made possible through the miracle of Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, eternal life for you and I. Eternal salvation, deliverance from our sins, renewal of life, born again by the Spirit of God, a new start, a fresh start. All the old things of the past are done away. Behold, all things are become new. We have eternity to look forward to, an eternity of promise and great joy, because God is a God of miracles. And God has performed a miracle for you and I, the birth of His Son, to come into this world and take our sin debt and pay for it on the cross of Calvary with His own blood, His sinless blood. Father in heaven, we thank You for Christmas miracles. And though the world seems a very, very dark place right now, as I'm sure it did for the shepherds in Jesus' day, for the people of Palestine, for the people of Jerusalem, They had not heard a word from the Lord in over 400 years. They did not know if or when a Messiah would come, only that you had promised to send one. And in your time, when the time had come, the perfect time, you sent forth your Son, born of a virgin. And Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to do that. And I pray for those who are here today that each and every one of us have received that miracle, that we have accepted Jesus Christ, your Son, as our Savior, that we have put our trust in him, our confidence that he will save us from our sins, that he has already done that. And we've already become a member of your family. We've been adopted into your family. And we will live eternally in your presence. And so, Father, if there's anyone here today who needs that miracle, anyone here today who's living in the grip of sin and needing to be delivered, may they understand today that because you loved us so much, our deliverer has come. And we trust in him. If there are people here today, Lord, and I know there are many of us who are looking at the negative side of life because of all the things that are going on in the world around us, and maybe we're a little bit discouraged and a little bit tired and a little bit wishing that our Lord and Savior would just come back and take us out of this world, may you help us to wait upon you, realizing that you have a timetable that is perfect in your eyes. We may not understand what that timetable is, but we live in exciting days. We live in days which I believe we are going to see you, Father, do some incredible and amazing things, including sending your Son back to take the church out of this world. It'll be a miracle. And it could happen. It could happen before this Christmas season is over. May we be looking expectantly for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.